The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." The people walking in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Then Jesus stopped and ordered that he be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He replied, "Lord, please, let me see." Jesus told him, "Have sight. Your faith has saved you." He immediately received his sight and followed him, giving glory to God. When they saw this, all the people gave praise to God. The Gospel of the Lord. So here's a fun little anecdote that I want to share with you here this morning. Not so very long ago, I had the chance to speak with someone who visited North Korea. Now, I don't know how much you know about North Korea, but North Korea is pretty much universally regarded as being the most repressive, most totalitarian state in the entire world. In fact, the word that might best describe the government of North Korea is paranoid. Right? They're absolutely paranoid that somebody somewhere is going to be a threat to their power. So I asked him, what was it like? And he said, "Well, you know, you get this government guide, and they shadow you. They're listening to every single word that you say, and you are required to do what they tell you to do, when they tell you to do it, in the way that they tell you to do it, and no questions asked, right? You do what you're told." Well, North Korea was not so much as a vacation as it was an education. But the thing about his story that struck me the most was his account of what it took to get into the country in the first place, going through North Korean customs and immigration. He said they seize all of your electronics. They take them into a back room. Computer, tablet, phone, watch, whatever you have, they take it all. I said, "What are you doing with all your stuff?" And he said, "They tell you that they are searching for revolutionary, political, and dangerous religious content." And that last phrase is what stuck with me. Dangerous religious content. I thought to myself, dangerous? Dangerous to whom exactly? Long ago, Jesus told us that there might well be a conflict between God and the government. He said, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God." There's not always a conflict, but dag nabbit, there sure can be. Why? Because both God and the government sometimes fight as to who really rules, who has ultimate authority. You want to know the good news in that fight? You decide who rules. If you can bear with the consequences, you decide who rules. God is always a threat to tyrants. But rest assured, nobody but nobody can let anyone be the tyrant over your own heart. You choose that. And the reason why I mention all of this is because all week long, our first reading comes to us from the books of the Maccabees. And if you understand a little bit about the books of the Maccabees, you find them very, very fruitful. The Maccabees are history books. So brush up a little bit of history with me right here. The year is about 150 BC. And the event is a leader has come to conquer more land faster than anybody else who has ever lived in history. The leader came to be known as Alexander the Great. And in just 3 years, he conquered an empire that stretched from Greece to India, and nobody in history had ever done that before, and nobody in history has ever done it since. Now, Alexander was only 26 years old. Then mysteriously, at the tender young age of just 29, Alexander the Great suddenly died. And all across his vast empire, people fought to who gets to control the empire of Alexander the Great. Well, one of the reasons Alexander the Great conquered so much land was because he respected local religions. He didn't want to fight between God and government. Very, very wise. Alexander's successors did not respect local religions, and the one who took over the land of Israel, his name was Antiochus Epiphanes IV. And he decided that he would impose Greek ways on all of his people's local religions, be damned, and he would squash all opposition. That's what he did in Israel. That's the story of the books of the Maccabees. Now, in Israel at the time, there were three basic pillars of Israelite religious social life. The three pillars were Torah, temple, and Sabbath. Torah, God's law. Temple, place where God is worshipped. Sabbath, you know the Sabbath day of rest to worship the Almighty God. Antiochus Epiphanes attacked all three of these. The first thing that he did was he made the Sabbath illegal. Everyone would work on the Sabbath by order of the government. Next thing that he did was he attacked the Torah, forced people to violate Jewish dietary regulations, made circumcision illegal, all the rest. Greatest insult was that he attacked the temple. He took a pig and slaughtered it on the high altar of the holy temple of Jerusalem just to insult the people, just to break their faith. Now, most of the people didn't want trouble. They went along with whatever the government wanted to do. They had their business, and they didn't want their business to be disrupted. They had their family. They didn't want to threaten their income. They didn't want to threaten anybody's safety. Most people just went along and let them do it. Maccabees is the story of four people who fought back. Now, the reason why I mention all of that is to help you when you hear the books of the Maccabees. Two questions you want to keep in mind as you hear the books of the Maccabees. Number one, if you had lived back then, whose side would you be on? Like I said, this is astonishing to realize, but most people just want to be left alone. And they claim to have convictions and even the deepest religious convictions, but it's amazing how quickly those convictions collapse as soon as anyone threatens them. Most people will not suffer in the slightest for what they claim to be their religious convictions. In fact, most people won't even want to be inconvenienced for the sake of what they call their religious convictions. Something to pray about, you know? Look around you in the world and tell me if that isn't the truth. Something to pray about. If you had lived back then, whose side would you be on? And it's a very timely question because whether you like it or not, you know, similar events might unfold in our own time, and you might not have the luxury of praying about it first. You might need to be ready. You might need to be prepared. That's the first thing you need to pray about. Here's the second, as you hear the books of the Maccabees. Are you aware just how much difference a few people can make? There's so many people in their hearts, they know what's right, they know what's wrong, but they don't want to be the first one to make a move. Only four people in the books of the Maccabees, just four people stood up and fought, and as soon as they did, all these people rallied to their side, and they won. But all because of the courage of a few. Are you aware of how much difference just a few people can make? Might you be willing to be one of those people? It only takes a little bit of yeast make the whole loaf rise. Because I promise you this, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, God will call you to days in which your convictions are threatened. And what will you do about it? Take a lesson from blind Bartimaeus here in the gospel. All the crowds tried to tell Bartimaeus to keep his mouth shut. He ignored the crowds. All the crowds tried to pressure him to act the way they wanted him to act, and he would not. So let's you and I pray for the grace while we're able to pray for the grace. In the face of the crowds, which can be so intimidating, let's you and I pray for the grace when the hour comes to be strong, and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Elizabeth of Hungary, pray for us.